Our scripture for today is found in the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is a need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, help us to be present in this moment. Help us to not be distracted by all of the things that are out there. Open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up. And may what is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm busy, busy, dreadfully busy. You've no idea what I have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy, much, much too busy for you. There was a story about a young professional whose company every year had what was called the 100% sales club. And this was for the salesman that had met their quota that year. And for every salesman that met their quota, they took someone else from the company who had contributed to the success that year on the yearly trip. And this professional was selected one year to go on an all-expense-paid trip to Cancun, Mexico, and stay at the Ritz-Carlton and do all of these wonderful things down there. And he picked his wife up from work, and she gets in the car, and he says, "Guess what, honey? We're going to Cancun." And the wife said, "Well, I don't know. You know, how are we going? We got to find somebody to take care of the cats, and, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to get off work," and blah, blah, blah. She just kept on coming up with excuses. And we can all relate to that wife at times. We get caught up in all of our obligations, and that is the first thing that comes to our mind when something wonderful is presented to us and that we have the opportunity to do. And these obligations seem to push aside whatever that opportunity that has been presented to us, and the obligations are what become important. Now, obligations, they are important. But if they are more important than being present to what is going on in our lives, if they keep us from enjoying the unexpected moments in our lives, then those obligations have become distractions. Many people have made being distracted part of their lives. When something is presented to them, they instantly go to the negative side of why they cannot be present and experience what's going on. And they end up talking themselves out of accepting what is being presented in the present moment. They miss out on opportunities that can bring joy, can bring awe, and can bring wonderful memories. When my sister-in-law, Amy, when she was engaged to her now husband, Paul, they were staying with my in-laws in New Jersey. And Holly and I had been married for a year, 2 years, something like that. And they came down to visit us in our apartment in Milford, New Jersey, which is about 10, 15 minutes from the house. And we sit down, and all of a sudden Amy says, "Hey, how would you two like to go to Seaside Heights tonight?" Now, this is at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, and Seaside Heights is a 1 hour and 45 minute drive. I got to go to work the next day. And it's probably not going to be until midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning that I'm going to get back, and I will maybe get 6 hours or so of sleep and then have to get up and go to work. And this would be a crazy, crazy thing to do. But 5 seconds after Amy said that, I was calling my father-in-law to tell him, "Don't worry if Amy and Paul got back late." And he kind of chuckled and he says, "Just don't get yourselves killed." When Holly and I were in senior year of college, we had planned a trip to go see the group Mike and the Mechanics, which was, they were popular in 1988-89. And our friends Conrad and Wes were going to go with us, but on the day of the show, Wes had to take and he had to drop out. And so Holly, Conrad, and I said, "What are we going to do with this fourth ticket?" And our friend Rebecca was there. "Hey, Rebecca, want to go to a concert? Who is it? Mike and the Mechanics. Can we stop at an ATM machine on the way?" "Sure. All right, let's go." Both of these events were, at least to me, and I think to Holly, were fantastic experiences. We... driving to the beach with Amy and Paul, finding a parking space, walking to the beach late in the evening, walking the boardwalk at night with all the lights and everything, seeing a fantastic show in a fantastic theater with fantastic friends, were memories and experiences that I treasure even to this day. And they are vivid in my mind. In both cases, there was the opportunity to miss out. To tell Amy, "Oh, it's too late at night. I gotta go to work." It could have been very easy for Rebecca to say, "Well, I don't know. You know, I've got something to do." But in both cases, we didn't miss out. In our scripture today, we see a prime example on missing out. Jesus is at the home of Mary and Martha, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to all that he is saying. Can you imagine being able to do that? But Martha is busy doing things in the house. Perhaps she's preparing a meal, and Martha has become distracted by her obligations. She's missing out on the opportunity to hear Jesus speak. Now, even back then, you know, Jesus was known. He was famous. What he was teaching was being spread throughout the country, and yet Martha was distracted by her obligations. Now, if you had the opportunity to physically sit at Jesus' feet, what would you do? I'd say, what? I gotta go preach in church. Well, forget that. I gotta do this. Forget that. I'm gonna go sit at Jesus' feet. I'm gonna drop everything and I am going to jump at that opportunity. And Jesus confirms that it would have been better for Martha to be sitting at her feet, at his feet with Mary. Martha, Martha, are you worried and distracted by many things? There is a need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary had tuned into the opportunity that she had to be with Jesus and to hear his teachings. What would we have done if we had been in Martha's place? There's a likelihood that we would have been distracted by all of our obligations and we would have missed out on hearing Jesus. If our lives are filled to the brim with stuff, it makes it hard to be tuned in to anything else. We get blinders on. We miss out on the opportunities with our family and friends to make memories. We miss out on opportunities to spend valuable time with our children to help guide them in their upbringing and to make wonderful memories that last a lifetime. I still remember in 1976, I was 10 years old, and my mother, my father, my brother, myself, and my mom's parents, grandma and grandpa, spent 2 weeks in a cabin on the shores of Deer Bay. And every morning, my dad, my grandpa and I, and sometimes my mother and my brother, would get into the boat, start the outboard motor, and we'd go fishing. And we would go and we would sit. And the wonderful experience for a 10-year-old is when your fishing rod goes like this. And an even better thing is when that fishing rod goes like this and it's pulling down so hard and you're trying to reel it in and your father is helping reel it in and you finally get it up alongside of the boat and it's a muskie about this long. And how a second later, the muskie snaps the line and he's gone. I had visions of a muskie on my wall. But even still, wonderful memories. Lots of lessons learned from my father, my grandfather, my mother, and my grandmother. If we're so busy that we can't be tuned in, we miss out on opportunities to be the hand, the feet, and the voice of God here on earth. When we take their time to remove that which does not fit our values and our priorities, when we find the right tempo for our lives, when we spend more time interacting with people, the more that we remember that God is with us at all times, the more we become in tune with God. Being in tune to God brings us peace, brings us hope, brings us focus, brings us compassion, and lets us know what exactly our purpose is in this life. We may not have the opportunity to physically sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him teach, but we can still sit with him on a daily basis, read our Bibles, pray, and be silent, and we can learn. We can tune in to what his will is for our lives. When I was growing up, my parents listened to a lot of gospel music. And while I was preparing my sermon this week, I couldn't help but think of one of those gospel songs. Turn your radio on. Everybody has a radio receiver. All you got to do is listen for the call. If you turn your radio on, turn your radio on. If you listen in, you will be a believer, leaning on the truths that'll never fail. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Everybody, turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on and glory share. Turn your lights down low and listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God, get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Thank you, I appreciate that. I butchered it a little bit, but... Not yet. I'll have to get that CD together. But I lean heavily on the verse from I think it's from Psalms that says, "Make it a joyful noise unto the Lord." But anyhow, so I challenge us all this week to turn our radios on, tune in to God, and listen to what He has to say. Let us not be so busy that we can't tune in to the unhurried God. Amen.